although at 10 to 8 on Saturday night, Saturday Night Theatre. Deep Purple by Ted Albury, with Michael Melia as Eddie Hoggart and Louise Germain as Jackie. The play begins in London during the mid-1980s.
Is that you, Dickie?
Yes, Bob.
Where are you?
I'm looking at Century House. I'm trying to get across the road.
Have you finished your report?
I have.
How long do you reckon it'll take for you to put me in the picture?
Oh, a couple of hours, something like that.
Fine by me. See you.
I'd better introduce myself. I'm Dickie Shaw, and I used to work in the building across the road, Century House. Century House is the headquarters of MI6, or SIS, as it's sometimes known. To those who worked there, it was generally called the firm. The people inside, like the staffs of any large government organization, are just people. There are flowers and vases in the typing pool. There are disputes about holiday rotas, rivalries, and even long-historied feuds. The most modern pieces of high technology still have to give way sometimes to no more than the hunch of an experienced man. There is loyalty and ambition, and sharp academic minds that probe the accumulated field wisdom of experienced agents. There are several scores of people who know more about what is going on in the world than most heads of government do. And there is a handful of people who know enough to bring to a messy end the careers of at least 50 public figures. Oh, excuse me a second. A taxi! Travellers Club, please.
Come in! Ah, Dickie. Make yourself comfortable. I took a room for us, and they've left us sandwiches and a few bottles. Help yourself. We can eat while we talk. Oh, where on earth do we start?
Well, I'd better put you in the picture about Hoggart. What do you know about his background?
I understand that he's regarded as one of the best field operators that we have. Experienced, tough, and talented. That's about it.
Well, Eddie Hoggart grew up with no father around, and a mother who was both a violent and a drunk. She hated his guts. At 8 years old, the local authority had to take him over. He was put in an orphanage. He was uncontrollable, ran away regularly until one of the governors of the orphanage, an ex-army officer, took him in hand. Took him into his own home, brought Eddie up like he was his son. He got Eddie into the army, and about 5 years later, we recruited him.
Sounds like all's well that ends well.
Well, on the surface, yes, but underneath, no. I guess it all starts in Washington, at our embassy. Party to celebrate Thanksgiving Day.
I've never understood what Thanksgiving Day is all about.
It's a combination of Harvest Festival and a Buckingham Palace garden party.
Who is our ambassador?
Peter Bellamy.
I tell them, none of this pop rubbish. You want something with a tune and words you can hear. Tell me, why do naval dashes always get the prettiest girls? They were so young, the girls, so lovely and so sexy.
I think Chalmers is trying to attract your attention.
Huh? Oh, wave him over.
Is that a private word, Ambassador?
Is that necessary?
I'm afraid so.
All right. What is it?
We've got a walk-in.
A what?
A walk-in, sir. A Russian defector.
Oh, for God's sake. Why couldn't the stupid bastard wait until we open tomorrow?
He's KGB, sir. Well, claims that he is.
Where is he?
We've put him in the annex with Cartwright.
What's the chap want?
Wants to see a senior intelligence officer.
Well, Cartwright's not one of them, is he now?
No, Your Excellency, but Pritchard wouldn't see him. Says it's not policy for these chaps to meet an intelligence officer until their bona fides have been established.
Why not, for heaven's sake?
Well, the walk-in could just be checking on the identities of our intelligence people.
Well, that's more than I can do with the Foreign Office in cahoots with them half the time. What does Pritchard want us to do?
He suggests that the Russian has a preliminary debriefing with Miss Pollard.
That should teach the bastard a lesson. Well, if that's what Pritchard wants, I approve. But they don't do it here. They take him to one of their places. Make that very clear.
I'll do that, sir.
It's Mr. Yakunin, isn't it?
Yakunin, Igor.
Would you like something to eat, Mr. Yakunin? Or a drink, maybe?
No, thank you. Maybe later.
How can I help you?
You are intelligence officer.
No, but I am an embassy official. We felt I should talk to you first, just to make sure that we're in a position to help you.
It's me who helps you people, not you helping me.
Tell me.
I am a major in the KGB. I work for 1 year here in the United States, and I wish to defect to the British.
Where have you been working, Mr. Yakunin?
In Washington and in New York.
And what were you doing?
I have Canadian documents, and I have run two networks of agents in the United States.
Why didn't you talk to the CIA? Why us?
They are too clumsy. And the most important information I have concerns the British, not the Americans.
What kind of information is that?
I only talk about that when I'm sure of you people. I risk my life, you risk nothing.
We put a room at your disposal for tonight, Mr. Yakunin. And I'll talk to my colleagues and we can talk again tomorrow when you've had some sleep.
What did you think of him?
Well, he's tense. But I guess anybody would be tense doing what he's just done.
He could be a plant.
I'd still be tense if I was a plant. I'd wonder if I was going to be exposed and what would happen to me if I were. What would happen to him?
Depends on how long it took us to rumble him.
Oh, he's going to be a difficult client.
What makes you think that?
I'd say he's an arrogant man. A bit full of his own importance.
I fixed a car to take you back to the embassy. You must be tired.
Oh, thank you. What are you going to do with him?
London are checking on him. If he's positively identified, I'll fly over with him tomorrow. They'll take him over.
Will you have to stay?
No. I'm not a Russian speaker, and I'm not an interrogator either. And a debriefing can take months.
I'll see you when you get back, then. And I'd love to know how it all works out.
I refer you to Section 2 of the Official Secrets Act, my dear. My lot are very fussy about it.
Ah, yes. Saving it for their memoirs, no doubt.
Morning, Miss Hargett. Got your ID card, sir?
Of course. There you are.
You've just signed the book, sir.
There we go. You got my key?
Mr. Fletcher's up there already, sir. Got in an hour ago.
Oh, good for him.
Hello, David.
Hi, Eddie. How's things?
Okay. Have you read this file on Barakov? The suspect KGB guy, their trade mission.
Yeah, I've read it.
Do you remember the physical description?
More or less.
So what the hell does etiolated mean?
That's a bit of original Anthony Renshaw. He edited the report. It means, pale, wan, kind of washed out.
Jesus wept. Has he ever done any actual field work himself?
I don't think so. He had the usual training courses way back, but he's always been an administrator, looking after the likes of you and me.
Where the hell do you get a job like that?
You have an old man who's head of a merchant bank. Then Eton, Balliol, a stint in the Foreign Office, Washington and Bonn. You speak fluent Russian. You are naturally charming. You mix with the top people who are all old family friends. And he's at arm's length. He doesn't get emotionally involved like we do. Somebody has to, you know. Are you taking over the Barakov surveillance?
No. I'm working for Renshaw, doing my share of decrypting the last material from Needle. He says you're doing the second batch.
I'm going for a coffee. Do you want one?
Yeah, thanks. Same as usual. Half and half with two sugars.
Fletcher? Yes, he's here. Yes, sir. Speak of the devil. Tony Renshaw's compliments. Wonders if you could spare him a few minutes in his office.
Do sit down, Eddie. Something's come up. A Soviet walk-in at our Washington embassy. He's been brought over here for checking, and I'd like you to do it.
Where is he?
He's at the safe house in Lamberhurst. Don't know much about him. Our records show him born in 1936 in Smolensk. Parents missing in the war. He was brought up in an orphanage just outside Alma-Ata. There was nothing further until 1959 when his name came up as a militiaman. And then Frontier Police and 2 years at Moscow University. We don't know what he studied. Transferred to the KGB in 1964. And all we got after that is a promotion to captain in 1969. And there's no record of marriage or family. And, well, that's it, I'm afraid.
Can I help you?
Hoggett, Sentry House. My ID. Where is he?
He's inside, upstairs in his room. Totally non-cooperative, bloody-minded, and constantly complaining.
About what?
That he's not being treated with the proper respect.
Oh, good. Good, he sounds ready for me. Which is his room?
Number 4, sir. The last on the left at the top of the stairs. Yours is the room opposite.
Mr. Yakunin. Would you prefer to speak in Russian or English, Mr. Yakunin?
It's okay with me either way.
Good. All right. Let's start in English and we can change over if it doesn't work out. I'm an intelligence officer and I'll be staying here at the house with you so that you can talk to me.
And after the talk?
I don't understand.
After the talk, will you and your people act on what I tell you?
Well, that's for others to decide. It depends on what you tell me.
You've got big problems in your organization.
Well, I mean, there are problems in the KGB, too.
Problems of traitors.
Who knows? Now, how about we get down to basics?
You are not interested in traitors.
Let's just do it bit by bit. We'll come to the traitors when we've established the groundwork. Right. Tell me about yourself and what you've been doing.
My name is Yakunin, Igor. I am major in KGB, First Directorate, Department S. I have been for several years an illegal in the United States.
Any family?
No, no family, no living relatives.
When were you recruited into the KGB?
Why do you ask me? You're sure to have some kind of file on me.
It's a standard procedure, Yakunin.
I am not interested in procedures. I have things to tell you. That is all that matters.
Do you regret going to our embassy in Washington?
Why do you ask, sir?
Because we can make arrangements for you to be sent anywhere you want. You came to us voluntarily. But if you changed your mind about having done that, now's the time to say so. But if you want to stay, you do it our way. You understand me? Right. Tell me what you studied at the university.
English and electronics.
You speak very good English. Were you as good at electronics?
Just enough to talk about it and to understand the answers to my questions.
Was it electronics you were covering in the United States?
That was the prime target area.
What was your cover?
German technical journalist.
What particular area of electronics did you cover?
Naval weapons control, guidance systems, and computers.
Who was your contact in the States?
Nobody. Just dead drops and radio instructions from Moscow.
Where's your radio?
I left it in the States.
In Washington?
No. A long way from Washington.
Is something worrying you, comrade?
It's you people. You're wide open to the KGB and you don't realize it. I don't want to end up face down in the Thames.
Mr. Yakunin, I've debriefed a number of Warsaw Pact defectors and I have never, ever come up against somebody with your attitude. Maybe you'd better think about your position overnight and make sure you wouldn't rather talk to the Americans or somebody else. Good night.
Go on about Yakunin.
Well, Yakunin had all the usual problems that Soviet defectors always have.
What kind of problems?
Well, they go from a closed and privileged group like the KGB, where they're important and respected. And they come over here and suddenly it's different. They're out of their environment. It's a strange country. They're important, but not in the same way. They wonder if they did the right thing. It takes a lot of courage to come over. It takes a different kind of courage to go along with one's new circumstances. But eventually, Hoggett broke through.
So, how did you like it in the States?
They gave me no problems.
Tell me about your networks.
There were no networks, just me alone and sometimes two others.
But you told them at the embassy in Washington that you ran two networks out of Canada.
Why should I tell that woman what I do?
Well, how about you tell me?
I ran John Walker. That was full-time operation.
Who was John Walker?
John Anthony Walker, late of Norfolk, Virginia, of the United States Navy, arrested by the FBI on May 20, 1985, and serving a life sentence for selling top-secret information to the Soviet Union.
Oh, do you want to talk to me about that?
No.
Why not?
Because you'd, what becomes of me, How do I live?
Provided you have really cooperated with us to the very best of your ability, you will be given a new identity and a British passport. You'll be paid a pension that will allow you to live comfortably, and if what you tell us has an ongoing significance, you'd be paid as a consultant to the organisation. Oh, and you'd have a code name.
And my safety?
There's been no sign of any KGB activity directed towards you so far.
Of course not. What I have to tell your people, the men in Moscow don't even know about it. So, if I tell you and you deal with a problem, they will realize who has given you the information. They would spare nothing to get their revenge on me.
Listen. You know, Igor, whether a man is CIA, KGB, or SIS, if he is very senior, he always feels that his current operation is the most important item in the organization's program. We all feel like that. Are you sure that you're not exaggerating in your own mind what you have to tell us?
I am quite sure.
So tell me.
When I'm ready, I'll tell you.
All right. Tell me about John Walker and how you ran him.
Tomorrow we'll talk about it. A little.
Hello?
Tony! It's Tony Ramshaw!
Hello! Hi!
Come on in! Oh, play us a tune, Tony, please.
I can't stay long.
Oh, please.
I just came in to wish you a happy birthday.
5 minutes, Tony. Just 5 minutes.
Thank you.
No, I really must go back.
One last one. That one you always play. Deep Purple.
Renshaw's always been a popular fellow. How did he get on with his father? I always saw Sir Arthur as a bit of a diehard.
Oh, he was in some ways, but... I don't understand you, Tony. I really don't. It's your money, okay? It's a trust, but that doesn't stop you from taking an interest in how it's doing.
It doesn't interest me, Father.
Your grandfather would turn in his grave if he heard you say that. At least Charlie looks after his money.
Charlie needs the money. He's got a wife and two kids and a lifestyle to live up to.
When are you going to get yourself a wife, boy?
No.
You've had some very nice girlfriends, good backgrounds and good looking, and any one of them would jump at the chance of marrying.
No, I doubt it. I like them all. I don't want them hanging around every hour of my life.
You could be right, son. But your mother would like to see you settled down.
Is that why she has invited the Mercers over for dinner tonight? A nice moonlight walk with the sweet Mary.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but you might well be right. How's the job going? Still knocking those bloody reds for six?
Oh, we bowl them the odd bumper every now and again.
What do you make of this Gorbachev fellow? Think he'll last?
Oh, who knows? If Maggie can last, he can. But battering down an old established bureaucracy isn't all that easy.
Do you want to join the shoot tomorrow?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm going back to town.
You lost interest in shooting?
I never really had an interest, Pa. I find it revolting, to put it mildly.
Mother used to say that. I thought she was just having a dig at me. Well, takes all sorts. We'd better go and freshen up a bit for dinner.
Why are you looking at me like that, Tony?
Oh, the usual reason.
Tell me.
Because you are young and happy. And very pretty. And you look like a pre-Raphaelite painting.
I thought pre-Raphaelite girls were always lying dead in love.
Only one. What are you going to do now you've graduated?
I don't know. What would you suggest?
Look, what did you read?
Economics. Uh-huh.
Well, if I were young and beautiful and I'd read economics, I'd want to compare all the theories with the practice. So I go to the United States and Tokyo, see how capitalism works, and then maybe the Soviet Union and Cuba, and check on how socialism works.
Not get married and have children.
Also, the children are very unrewarding.
5 or 6 years of pleasure, and then they hate you. That's a marriage, well, we all know how that ends up these days. Marriage even starts off with a lie.
Tell me more.
You promise to love someone for the rest of your life. It's crazy. It's not only crazy, it's patently impossible. I like Swinburne's poetry and Jerome Kern's melodies and playing the piano. I wouldn't promise to even like them, let alone love them for the rest of my life.
What about your mother and father and mine? They love one another.
I wouldn't dream of commenting on your parents, but my parents. Well, they're like rocks that have been grinding against each other for a million years. They're worn smooth by sacrificing their original shapes. And they're a prime example of the vices and virtues of a hung parliament.
Don't you love them?
I admire how they've stuck together all these years.
But you don't love them?
No. I don't even like my father.
Why not?
He's a snob. And a bully. And he's selfish. He's also quite fearless and physically brave. But that's because he lacks imagination.
How long have you thought like this?
Since I was about 19 or 20.
Have you ever loved anybody?
I nearly did once.
Didn't it work out?
Something diverted me away from it.
Do you make love to girls?
You mean have sex with them?
Yes.
Yes. I rather like that.
Do you want to have sex with me?
I rather hoped you'd let me.
Is that why you brought me down here?
I'm afraid it is.
Where shall we go?
There's a summer house at the end of the lake. We could go there.
What was Moscow's reaction when Yakunin disappeared? They assumed at first that he'd defected to the CIA. The usual flak from their embassy in Washington, denials from the Americans. The next thing is another KGB man walks into West Central Police Station.
Right, sir. How can I help you?
My name is Belinsky, Janos Belinsky, KGB First Directorate Department S. I want to defect.
Where were you based?
In Paris.
So why have you come here?
I speak better English than French, and I was previously concerned with operations in the United States.
Which part of the States?
New York.
United Nations or illegals?
Illegals. No contact with our UN people.
I'll need to check your bag and an officer will search you. You agreeable to that?
Whatever you want.
Fletcher.
David, Tony Renshaw. I'm sorry to wake you in the middle of the night. Do you know the safe house near Southampton?
Yes.
Good. I want you to go down there right away. There's been another walk-in.
Mm-hmm.
A KGB major named Bielinski. I've had a quick chat with him, but I want you to take over his official debriefing.
What do we know about him?
Not much. You'll be virtually starting from scratch. Drop everything else. I think this could be very important.
Let's sit down in the sun for a bit, shall we? See those ruins over there? That's Bayern Abbey. Did you have any contact with the people who ran agents in England?
I wondered how long it would take to try that. The same old routine, the one question that really matters, hiding among the chit-chat so it won't be noticed, yes?
Fair enough. So what's the answer?
They consulted me from time to time when I was in Moscow, told me about the problems and asked for my views.
What kind of problems?
The problems of an area where they felt they had too much success, like they had with me. Was it all too good to be true? This was their man in the SIS. He was a jewel in a crown. All the checks and counter-checks said that it was genuine. But if the other side were playing games, that's how they'd play it anyway. A little bit of disinformation wrapped up in a mess of middle-grade genuine information. A pearl in the dross from time to time. But always that worry on the receiving end. Was he our man or had he been turned again? The triple agent. There's a problem if the man is right at the heart of the system.
What particular problem?
If he's really at the top, the
most important stuff you get won't be documents or facts, but opinions. His opinion. And that's not the part that really matters. What matters is his interpretation of decisions in cabinet meetings. His views on the Prime Minister's inner thoughts on a meeting with Gorbachev. Who in the opposition or the peace movement can most influence the media and public opinion? He could be genuinely mistaken in his assessment. Or he could be passing on what his control has fed him.
Did you have a solution?
I asked them to describe the man, his background, his life, his work. Why was he helping us? Why did he say he was helping us?
And?
They did all that. He seemed okay to me. But they still weren't completely happy. In the end, I said the only way was to let me meet the person. But they refused. Said nobody apart from his controller had ever met him.
Tell me how they described him.
You're crazy if you think I'm going to tell you that until I'm satisfied about you and your people.
Okay, all right. I'm going up to London tonight. I'll see you again tomorrow. Is there anything you want?
There's a book I'd like.
What is it?
Bertrand Russell's History of Western Philosophy. And some English magazines.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
Tell me about the girl. Hoggart's girl.
Is she important?
She was to Hoggart. They'd got a lot in common. Have you ever been to Marlborough Street?
You mean the court?
Yes. I guess that's where it started, in a way. It was a good few years back.
Jacqueline Lovegrove, your charter. On the 28th of June, you were loitering in Curzon Street with intent to solicit for prostitution. How do you plead?
Guilty, my lord.
How old are you?
18.
You don't look 18 to me. I'm going to remand you for 14 days. You will not be in custody, but you must cooperate with the probation officer and appear again in this court in 14 days' time. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I've read all the reports, Helen. Tell me what you think.
The only facts I've got are that she lied in court about her age. She's not 18. I couldn't get it out of her, but she's definitely underage. And a clear case of incest by the father.
Has he been interviewed by the police?
No. She swears she won't testify against them.
And you think the mother knows, but doesn't care?
Oh, I'm sure she knows.
I think I'd better talk to Jackie. Can you bring her here tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
Sit down, Jackie. I'm Maggie Castle, senior probation officer. Now, tell me about your relationship with your father.
I ain't going to shop him in court, so don't think I am.
I just want to understand, Jackie. What you and I talk about is confidential. We'd just like to help, if we can.
So would you?
Did you object when you got in your bed?
No. What's the good? When men want it, they're going to have it.
Were you scared that he might knock you about if you refused?
No. He only beats her because she taunts him. He's easy if you treat him right.
Well, talk to her, Helen. There's no point in bringing all this out in court. First of all, she'd deny everything, and secondly, she's got it all worked out. Or she thinks she has. And right now, it works. It was incest, all right, but it wasn't a rape. She was a willing partner. And now, she's got him exactly where she wants him. And he's not the only one. She knows more about men than you and I do. She's very pretty. She's got that cute, innocent face. But believe you me, she knows she's got what men want, and she's going to use it.
Are you Nicky Bodoni?
Who are you, kid?
I'm Jackie. Somebody told me you were looking for a hostess at your club.
Yeah. How old are you?
17 and 2 months.
You've got nice tits for 17, honey.
Do you want to see them?
You ever worked as a hostess before?
Kind of.
Ask for me at the door about 11. I'll tell them you're coming.
Come in. Oh, hi, Jackie. Come on, let's have a look at you then. Where'd you get those rags you're wearing?
Portobello Market.
Oh, yeah. There's 250s. Get something classy, kid. Chuck that stuff away. The guys who come in here, I mean, we do. They're not interested in punk girls.
You want to bet?
You're a cheeky little bitch, ain't you?
No, but I obviously know more about what men want than you do, fella.
By the time Hoggart met the girl, she'd been the mistress of a man named Harry Gardner. He was in his early 50s. He was a wealthy gang leader, specializing in high-value robberies. He was tough, ruthless, but with some crude charm. He came back from a trip to Chicago and caught her in bed with one of his underlings and threw her out. And she had a tough time after that, working the Soho clubs. And that's where she met Hoggart.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Are you waiting for someone?
No. Do you want a drink?
Thanks. Can I have a port and lemon?
Port and lemon, Joe, please.
Yeah, mate. Why did you smile when I wanted a port and lemon?
Well, it's kind of old-fashioned.
And you don't like old-fashioned things?
What did you say your name was again?
Jackie. And I'm 18.
And you're very pretty too, Jackie. But I expect you've heard that before.
Are you a tits or a legs man?
Don't waste your talents on me. You'd be wasting your time.
Why should I be wasting time?
I'm not a John, kid.
So what? You've got nice brown eyes and a nice voice. There's nobody here but us. Costs nothing to be friendly.
Yeah, you're right, of course. How about another drink?
I'll buy you one. Same again, Joe.
All right, love.
By the way, what's your name?
Tom. Most people call me Tommy.
Cheers, Tommy.
Cheers, Jackie. Hey, have you seen a film called Crocodile Dundee?
No, but I've heard it's good. Have you seen it?
No. Would you like to see it?
What? You mean tonight?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, why not? I'll get my coat.
Renshaw. I'm in a meeting. Ring me in about an hour. I'm sorry, Eddie. Where were we? Oh, yes. Your report on our friend Yakunin.
Well, we're making some progress, but mainly on the States.
Like what?
I've done a written report.
Nothing about his mole in SIS.
Well, he hints at it all the time, but that's all. Says he'll reveal all when he thinks it's the right time.
Oh, they do love teasing us. Makes them feel they matter. Does no harm, I suppose. How about we meet again next week? Same time, yeah, my office.
David. Have you got a couple of minutes, Eddie?
Sure, yeah, of course.
I showed the photograph you gave me of your guy to Belinsky.
Did you recognize him?
Yes, as soon as he saw him. I hadn't told him who it was, but he said it right away. Igor Yakunin.
Oh, well, I didn't have much doubt about his identity. Did he say anything else?
Yes, it's a bit disturbing.
Tell me.
He said that Yakunin was a fantasist, a kind of Russian Walter Mitty, imagined himself as a kind of James Bond figure.
What was his job?
Well, apparently, way back, he was in the scientific section, worked on miniature radios and surveillance equipment. But about 5 years ago, he had some kind of a breakdown, and he was in hospital for about a year, psychiatric hospital.
What was wrong with him?
Kind of schizophrenia.
Go on.
Well, he was discharged and worked in the same section on equipment used in clandestine operations. A couple of years ago, their guy running illegals in New York wanted a specialist technician for servicing and modifying equipment, and your boy Yakunin was sent over there. Got a German passport and a cover as a German technical journalist. For the last 6 months, he worked on the Fowler case as a technician, and according to Belinsky, he made a cock-up of the whole operation. Fowler was arrested by the FBI. Yakunin was ordered back to Moscow, and obviously he realized he was in trouble and did a bunk. They think he defected, but they're not sure. If he did, they think he'd have gone over to the Americans rather than us, because he's never been in the UK. In fact, they were just going to retire him on the grounds that he was mentally unstable. Yeah, I'm sorry to be bringing bad news.
Do you think he's telling the truth?
Oh, I think so. He didn't take it very seriously. He's more amused than critical. But I think with me showing him the photograph, he's rumbled that we've got Yakunin.
You didn't tell him that we'd got it?
No, not a word. Yeah, I implied that we were doing a random check on him himself using a picture from our archives. He didn't seem all that interested either way.
What stage are you at with Belinsky?
Well, does what Belinsky said fit at all?
It's hard to say. There are markers, you know, both ways. The story he gives has the same background as Belinsky gives, but different interpretations. You and me starting all over again, checking his story from a different angle. But I've got a good relationship with him now that's taken a long time to establish. I don't want to spoil it.
Doesn't matter all that much.
Well, I've got hints of something special he's going to lay on the line when he's ready.
About what?
A KGB plant in high places in SIS.
At least Belinsky hasn't tried that one on me.
Well, Yakunin may be wrong, but I'm convinced that he thinks he knows something big. Big enough to be scared to tell me until I pass some sort of test of his.
Jackie!
What is it, Joe?
This guy Tommy. Who is he? What's he do?
Tommy? He's a real nice guy. Not like the usual creeps we get down here.
A lot of our clients don't take to him. Billy's a bit of a mystery man. Someone suggested he might be undercover drug squad.
Well, they must have guilty consciences.
Mr. Roggett. Mr. Roggett.
Where is it?
The Russian wants to talk to you. Says it's urgent.
What time is it?
3:15.
Oh, shit.
What is it, Igor? Why aren't you asleep?
Is it some sort of trick?
What? This photograph. Why was it with the books and magazines?
Oh, I forgot. I just wanted to ask you if you recognized the man.
And if I do, what then?
Nothing. It's just a routine identification.
You know who he is, of course. The caption calls this man Belinsky. Why?
Oh, we understood that was what his name was.
If you have this man, then you and I are finished. No more cooperation of any kind from me.
We have got him, Igor. We've had him for some time.
And he defected, yes?
Yes.
And he's cooperating in every possible way?
More or less.
He gave this name Belinsky, and you just believed him?
No, we checked on him every way we could.
Where did you say he was operating?
In Paris. We checked on that, too.
His name is not Belinsky, except maybe as part of a cover story for his defection. He's never worked in Paris. He's been once to the United States, and apart from that, he's never been out of Moscow.
Why are you so worried about him?
Why did he say he defected?
I've never talked with him. But from the transcripts, he seems to be saying that he's had enough of the KGB in Moscow. I think he just wanted a better life in the West.
Whatever it wasn't that. First of all, he was a totally committed Soviet. And apart from that, he had every privilege and luxury in Moscow that you could get over here.
Well, who is he?
His name is Lenski. Yuri Lenski.
How come you know so much about him?
He was a very important man, but very few people knew about him or what he did. There were just a handful of men who did his kind of job, and they all did it with the greatest secrecy.
So how did you know about him?
Because the guy I worked for was one of them, Ulyanov. He and Lenski worked closely together. Ulyanov covering the United States, Lenski covering special operations in Britain.
Wait, hang on a minute. You said he'd never been outside Moscow apart from one visit to the USA. How could he control an operation here from Moscow?
It wasn't just a routine operation. He was special. He was full-time on it.
Well, what was the operation?
I told you way back that if they discovered that I knew about this operation, they would kill me. Do you remember?
Yes, yes.
They sent Lenski over to kill me before I talk.
How can they be sure that you haven't talked already?
They know everything that you and I are talking about. Everything. They know I haven't talked.
So talk now, and they're too late.
They'd kill me for revenge. And they'd kill you, too.
Who kill me?
They have men here, you know that already. Not just Russians, but others. Arabs, Iranians, Cubans. People who'd kill for money or support for some revolutionary organization.
But how would they know what we've talked about?
I told you they have an agent in place in your organization.
Who is he?
I don't know. I know a few things about him, but I don't know his name.
Well, how long has he worked for Moscow?
At least 10 years, probably much longer. He's the most valuable source they have.
But don't tell me any more right now. Let me just think about this.
If you report on it, I shall deny it. All of it. You understand that? It will be my only chance.
All right, let's change the setup, Igor. Yeah, I promise you, I'm not going to report what you told me to anybody. The chap who's debriefing this Lenski showed him your photograph. And Lenski said you had a reputation for fantasizing your role in KGB operations. And that you played only a minor part in the Walker operation. Now, what's your answer to that?
I've been over it over and over in detail with you. How could I have known so much if I wasn't in charge? Who did he say was actually running?
The head of illegal based in New York.
No. The man in New York was only an administrator as far as I was concerned. When Moscow wanted to kick my ass, it was he who did it.
So, we know Lenski was lying. Why?
To devalue anything I said. To make you suspect me of being unreliable.
So either what you know is very important, or he's here for some other reason. And it would help me very much if you just told me more about the man, the mole.
I don't know his name.
Then what do you know?
He's SIS and very senior, and he passes information on SIS anti-KGB operation. And he's senior enough to know about top government thinking.
Oh, that could cover 20 or 30 people, Igor.
I've seen a picture of him. I'd recognize him.
Right. I'll see what I can bring for you to look at. And I'll have a look at Lenski. Evening, Joe. The usual, please. Scotch and a port and lemon.
All right. Ashley McKenna.
So?
New girlfriend, Jackie.
Oh, she's okay. In fact, I was expecting her to be here by now.
Do you mean you haven't heard?
Heard what?
She's in hospital. Some jerk made her up real bad.
What hospital?
Middlesex.
Don't bother about the drinks. It's me, Jackie. It's Tommy. Can you hear me?
I'm scared, Tommy.
Well, don't be scared, darling. Don't be scared. Nothing like this is ever going to happen to you again.
They did it deliberately. Tore me off.
Who did?
I don't know, Tommy. I don't know.
It doesn't matter now. You can be sure it won't happen again. I'll see that it doesn't.
You don't understand.
I do understand, little girl. I understand.
The man who did it said you're an undercover cop. In the drug squad, are you?
No.
Honest?
Honest.
Would you do something that would help me get better?
Of course I would.
Tell me your name. Your real name. It would show that I mattered. So I'm not just a slag.
My name's Eddie. Eddie Hoggart. Now listen, I've put on two good locks and a bolt. Now just keep the door locked and bolted, and if anyone rings the bell, look through the little peephole and check who it is first.
Can I ask you something personal?
Yes, but I might not answer it. What is it?
Are you gay?
What makes you think I'm gay?
You've taken me places, you've given me meals, you've bothered about me in hospital. You've found me this place. But you've never made a pass at me. Why'd you bother with me if you don't want to go to bed with me?
Listen, Jackie. Listen, sit down a minute. Do you remember the barman? You know, Joe, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Well, he talked to me one evening about you. He seemed to know a lot about you.
Like what?
He told me about your old man and what he did to you. And how things turned out for you.
When did he tell you this?
Well, it was before I met you, actually. Maybe a couple of days before. It was only gossip. But I recognised you from the description.
And what was that? Long legs and big tits?
It doesn't matter what the description was. It was the background that mattered.
Oh, sure. Screwed by a dear old dad who pimped her on the side. Great!
Listen, shh. Why don't you just calm down and shut up? Let me finish.
I don't want to hear about my background. Do you understand?
I just wanted to tell you that I didn't make a pass at you because I thought that somebody who was friendly without wanting to sleep with you might make a change.
And you're the fairy prince, is that it?
No, I'm not, but I... Well, I had a background like yours. And the only person I've ever cared about was kind to me without wanting anything in return. All the others treated me like shit. Like people treated you. And I didn't want to join the others, that's all.
You're a strange man, Eddie.
Why?
I don't know anything about you. I never believe anything the men tell me. But I believe you, what you just said.
I'll pop in to see you sometime tomorrow. Between 7 and 8, all right?
Don't go, Eddie. Stay with me tonight. Please. I want you to.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure.
Did we screen her before they married?
No. He just ignored the rules and went ahead. Kensington Registrar's office.
There you go, Eddie. Half and half, two sugars.
So?
So, how are you getting on with your cunin?
Oh, I was doing fine.
But I've been on leave for a few days.
Oh, of course. Yeah, one of the files has got a request from CIA to interrogate Yukunin about the Walker operation that he ran.
That backs up his own story against your guy's version.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought.
Listen, why don't I see Belinsky with you?
At least we get a second opinion.
Yukunin says your guy's real name is Lenski. He was really scared when he saw his photograph.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't tell me what his work was, but he said he felt his life was in danger, and mine too.
Sounds a bit over the top, especially about you. The Walker operation was a success for the KGB, so why should they want to knock him off, or you?
Well, my impression was that it was something else. Eh? I mean, not the Walker case.
Any idea what?
Well, he's been on about a mole in SIS.
Are you trying to pursue it?
Oh, yeah. But I have to go pretty cautiously, because he's so prickly. Says he's waiting to see if we, you know, can be trusted.
How's he going to decide that?
I don't know. He just says that he'll know when.
Which safe house are you using?
The one at Lambhurst.
We could go to my safe house near Southampton and look over Belinsky or Lenski or whatever his name is and come back through Lambhurst.
What about your backlog of files?
They'll have to wait. If Belinsky is lying, then he's a plant and the sooner I know the better. Let's go now. We'll take my car. Mr. Belinsky, this is a colleague of mine who wants to ask you a few questions.
How do you do, sir?
Tell me about what you were doing before you defected.
What particular aspect of my previous work would you like to talk about?
Just tell me what you think will most interest me.
Well, before I came over, I was working in Paris. Not at embassy, but at house that was headquarters of KGB illegals in France. I was kind of troubleshooter between bosses of various departments. Expect you have it too in SIS. Rivalries between sections or individual heads, then persuading one section to share its findings with another, that sort of thing. I must apologize for not offering you drink. We have good selection. What can I offer you?
Let's just talk, shall we?
I wish I'd had men as conscientious as you are, comrade. I'd have counted myself very lucky. I might even have stayed.
Well, why did you come over?
Well, I suppose we all think our reasons for escape are ours alone. A bit of a fruit salad, really. Disenchantment, fondness for the West, family problems, that sort of thing.
And what were you disenchanted with?
Restrictions, narrow minds, petty rivalries between old men, that sort of thing.
And the family problems?
Oh, a very dull marriage. Lack of sympathy from my partner. A wish for release from restrictions of marriage.
What sort of background did your wife come from?
What a strange question. She was working class, same as me. A very ordinary lady. Pretty, but not sophisticated.
What kind of friends did you have?
In Paris or Moscow?
Both.
In Paris, none. My job made me enemies, not friends. In Moscow, it was fellow officers. People I'd done my training with.
David, I'll have to go. It's getting late.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mr. Belinsky, thank you for talking to me so frankly.
Not at all. I enjoyed our little chat.
What did you make of him?
I think he's phony.
Why?
Well, first of all, instinct. I didn't like all that charm. You know? It was condescending. He's made himself too much at home.
I think he's genuinely a charming sort of chap.
I'm not saying he isn't genuine. I'm saying I think he's using it very deliberately.
You sound like you're talking about Tony Renshaw. All your working class prejudices coming out.
Listen, he claimed his wife was working class and so was he. Did you notice his accent when we were speaking Russian?
My Russian's not good enough to detect accents, Eddie. Regional dialects, yes, but not accents.
He's got an upper-class Moscow accent, and he's had it a long, long time.
Well, he's top brass in KGB.
Well, so what? Have you ever heard Gorbachev speaking? His accent's the Moscow equivalent of EastEnders. Lenski has the same accent that Andropov had. And even his mates in the Politburo saw it as a drawback.
What else don't you like?
His cover story. It's too good to be true. Not just the story, but the laid-back attitude. It's absolutely tailored to suit a Brit audience. It's a marvellous piece of work. Whoever worked it out ought to get a bloody two-grade promotion. Most SIS officers would agree with your assessment, and that's what it's meant to do. It's a frank chat between friends in leather armchairs in some posh bloody club. And we're all chaps together. The boring wives, the rivalries, the feuds between the old China hands. Instant appeal, you know? Instant mutual identification.
Didn't anything ring true?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just one thing, and it's an important thing.
What's that?
What rank did he say he was?
Major.
He's bullshitting us, David.
Go on.
Let's check on Central Archives when we get back, yeah? Not under Belinsky, but under Lenski. I'll bet you anything you like that he's at least a lieutenant colonel. But the real reason why he doesn't have friends is because he's not allowed to. Because his job is too high-powered. Too important to risk his operational security outside the operation itself. Could you check on him as Belinsky?
Yes, his details fitted well with what he's told me.
In the light of what I said, would you say it fits a bit too well?
You could be right.
You know how to test it, don't you?
No.
Has he told you in the debriefing anything of substance that wasn't in his SIS file?
Only about personal relationships in the KGB in Paris. I had those checked on. They fitted, and quite a lot of it was news to our people there.
That's a little present from Moscow, David. Gift wrapped. Nice and handy for checking on in Paris. You couldn't check on much of his Moscow story, that's for sure.
You really are a cynical bastard, Eddie.
Yeah, but I bet you wouldn't fancy putting £100 on me being wrong, would you?
No. I'm worried, Eddie. Yeah, how about we give your guy this and see him later, and tomorrow we can go back to Century House and check on the Lenski file.
All right, yeah, that's a good idea. I haven't had time to check on it since you couldn't identify the photograph.
Can I help you?
I'd like to check on Lenski. L-E-N-S-K-Y. He's KGB.
First name?
I don't know.
Just a moment. There's three Lenskys registered.
Try the address.
Lenski Igor Alexandrovich, Captain GRU based in Samarkand. Lenski Mikhail Davidovich, rank not known. Mathematician attached cipher section, KGB Irkutsk. Lenski Yuri Fyodorovich, Lieutenant Colonel KGB, duties unknown.
That's the one. Can I see the file?
That's the only information on the file.
We'd still like to see it.
It's out for updating.
When's it due back?
It's been out for 2 months and there's no date for return.
Who's got it?
Can I see your ID cards again? I'm sorry, but you're not cleared for that information, either of you. I can assure you that what I have given you is the only information on that file.
Looks like you're right, Eddie.
I'd like to know who fixed that bloody file. Once they've got a name, there should be a whole raft of information, especially on a half-colonel in the KGB.
I'd like to know who initiated that file and who pulled it out.
And why?
Let's get some sleep first. Hi, Eddie.
Hello, David. How's your debriefing going?
He's a strange fellow. He's still talkative, but not informative.
What the hell does that mean?
Full of KGB gossip, which is quite useful, but dodges any questions about what he's been doing. Says he was directing an operation in the States.
Any idea what it was?
He's hinted that it was a key operation, and vague hints that it was a penetration of the US Navy.
My chap was doing exactly that.
Maybe I'd better ask for your files to be released to me.
Well, why not? Most of it's American material, very little about us.
Renshaw's pretty sure my guy is genuine. He thinks he knows a hell of a lot if I can only pin him down. Why don't you give your guy a polygraph test?
Well, it's unreliable, but maybe it's worth a try.
That's right, sir. Just put your arms on the rest and I'll tape on these tents. Do you know what these appliances are for?
They're get on with it, girl.
I'll take over, Julie, okay?
Yes, sir. I need to ask you a couple of questions to calibrate the machine. So, here we go. Your name, please, sir?
Yakunin. Igor Yakunin.
Are you quite comfortable, Mr. Yakunin?
Yes, thank you.
What's your favourite food?
Piroshkis.
Your favourite flower?
Margaretka. Daisy.
Fine. I'm all set, sir, if you are.
Okay. Right. Have you ever done all this stuff before, Igor?
Many times, but in my own language.
Well, there's a built-in allowance in the program for that.
So, go ahead. Do I love my mother more than my father?
How old are you, Igor?
52 in October.
Why did you go to the British Embassy in Washington?
To defend...
What do you think?
It's a very steady reading, Mr. Hoggart. In fact, the only real deviation was when I asked him about his favourite flower.
Yeah, I think that was probably the only flower he could think of. And you classify all the rest of his responses as stable, wouldn't you?
Yes. But we have had recent reports that the KGB are giving agents, especially illegals, special training in reacting to polygraph tests.
Yeah?
He said he'd had lots before, but I think the training only began about a year ago, and from the notes you gave me, he hasn't been there in that time.
Right. Can you let me have a written assessment report in the next couple of days?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks for your help.
You
You know, Eddie, it's like those sine waves you see on oscilloscopes. Two of them, out of phase with one another, but exactly the same shape, matching but never coinciding. Mm-hmm. I'd say he did run the Walker operation himself. Maybe it was that the guy in New York had it in for him and misinformed Moscow to make sure that he didn't carry the can himself when Walker was caught.
Yeah. Did you give your guy a polygraph test?
No. Renshaw wouldn't sanction it.
Why not?
Said it wasn't justified. He was talking and cooperating, so why rock the boat?
But I think he was right. You've been at this game much longer than I have. Maybe he just accepts that you know what you're up to, and I've still got to work my passage.
What can I do for you?
Lance Cross, please, Jack.
Right. Haven't seen you for some time.
No, I've been down the country for a few days.
Yeah. You know, Jack, he's been seeing Harry Gardner again. Nasty piece of work he is.
What do you mean, seeing him?
What do you think I meant? She was his mistress long before you came on the scene. He's met her here down a club several times in the last few weeks. I thought you must have gone along with it.
Forget the scotch.
Oh. They were in there about an hour ago. She's probably at his place now.
What's his address?
He's in the phone book. H.R. Gardner. I think it's Hartford Street.
What did he do about it?
Well, he'd had his suspicions for some time, but he couldn't bring himself to believe it or do anything to check on her. But once he'd been tipped off, he started watching her. When he'd had enough, he phoned her one day when she was there with Gardner.
Yeah, drink this down and take this pill.
Right. Tell me again what he said.
He said not to come back. He'd had enough. He was going to divorce me. What am I going to do, Harry?
About what?
All of it.
Oh, you can stay here, kids. No problem about that. Do you want to let him divorce you?
No.
Why not?
I love him, Harry.
Oh, come off it, Jackie. You wouldn't be screwing around with me if you loved him.
Do you love your wife?
Of course.
But you still screw me?
So?
It's just a screw, but to him it's different. To him it means I don't love him.
Do you think he really will try and divorce you?
I'm sure he will. When that guy says he's going to do something, he'll do it.
Well, you could bring a counter petition for divorce against him.
What good would that do?
Well, it might calm him down, so at least he doesn't drag my name into it.
There's no reason to get for divorcing him.
Old Foxy, my solicitor, will soon dig up some reasons. Do you want me to have a word with him?
It's up to you, Harry. Do whatever you say.
Morning, Foxy.
Oh, Harry, morning. Take a pew.
All right. So,
what's it all about, Harry?
I want you to handle a divorce thing for a friend of mine.
Oh, don't meddle in that side of the law, Harry. Never have and never will. All that filth and... No, I can't help you there. Sorry.
This isn't just a run-of-the-mill case, Foxy. Like I said, it's for a friend of mine. Very special friend. Money's no object.
You tell your friend that he doesn't need to spend a lot of money these days.
It's not a fella, Foxy. It's a young lady.
I see. Well, you'd better tell me all about it, Harry.
Because if I do that, it'll be out of my control. I'll end up in the papers looking like either a baby snatcher or a dirty old man or both.
Well, what's her name, Harry?
Jacqueline Hoggett. Used to be Jacqueline Lovegrove.
Address?
Same as mine. Hartford Street address.
You better get her out of there fast, my friend.
Yeah, so what's the hurry?
You said you checked on her way back, and she had two court warnings for soliciting, yes?
Yes.
And you knew this before you took her on?
Yes.
And you had sex with her yourself, and she had sex with friends of yours, business friends, sometimes at hotels and sometimes at your place?
That's right.
Well, you realise it could be claimed that you were effectively running a brothel?
Oh, rubbish. She wasn't paid by those people, just between friends.
Look, I don't remember the exact words, Harry, but there was a case under the Sexual Offences Act 1956, Winter versus Wolfe, in the early 60s. It established that in law, it is immaterial whether payment was received or not.
So, are you going to look after my interests or not?
You don't leave me any choice, Harry. Yes, I'll take it on. Reluctantly.
So, what do you think we can do?
Buy off the outraged husband to leave you out of it. Or put some sort of pressure on him. What's his job?
You don't know. There were rumours that he was an undercover man for a drug squad.
You mean he's a copper?
It was only a rumour. Don't think it's true. She don't know what he does.
You mean a wife doesn't know what her husband's job is or where he goes each day?
I'm afraid not.
It's hardly credible. Good grief. We'd better find out what he does do, my friend, and quick. You better put me in funds, Harry, so I can get a proper investigator working on it.
How much do you need?
Well, 5,000 to start with.
Gardner.
It's Foxy, Harry. Are you alone?
No.
The girl?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't ask me any questions. I want to see you immediately.
What about?
I said don't ask questions. It's not safe. Just do as I say. I'll be waiting in my office for you.
I've got some bad news, Harry.
So tell me.
You know what the little girl's old man does for a living?
No, what?
I've had him under surveillance for 4 days.
Oh, get on with it, Foxy.
He works at Century House.
What's Century House?
It's the headquarters of SIS, the Secret Intelligence Service. MI bloody six. He's a bloody spy. That explains why he knew so much about the girl.
No wonder she didn't know what his job was. Now what?
You're in for a right royal reaming if we ain't very, very careful, Harry.
How much do they make a year?
Bound to be pretty high. It's all tax-free.
Why tax-free?
So that no crafty little bastard in the Inland Revenue can sell a nice list of names to the Ruskins.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big spender from what Jackie's told me.
The fact remains that that guy knows enough, or can use his resources to find out enough, to get you into court and give you a very nasty time. What we've got to bend our minds to is how to stop him.
What do you suggest?
Well, nothing right now. I only got this stuff an hour ago. I want to sleep on it. Then we'll talk again.
Maybe I should put a contract out on him.
Harry! Just keep very quiet and don't make any waves while I think about it. Just remember, you could be doing 30 years. If you don't want to do it my way, then you better find yourself another lawyer. You understand that, Harry?
Okay, okay. Give me a call sometime tomorrow. We'll meet again. What have you got, Foxy? Anything?
Well, this man Hoggart isn't just looking for a divorce. He's got a grudge against you. You personally. He wants the whole world to hear what he knows about you. Understand?
Oh, yeah. Go on.
So we look at the possibility of doing the same to him.
Well, what's he done that's criminal?
Nothing so far as I know. But he's an MI6 man. These bosses aren't going to like having him cross-examined in court about what he does. It's supposed to be secret. That's why they got the Official Secrets Act.
But we don't know what he does. He could be a bloody clerk or something.
Well, I know already he's not. He's doing secret things.
How do you know?
My chap's been keeping very discreet tabs on him. Hoggart's doing something at a cottage down in Kent. A place that's permanently under guard. At least two heavies. He's been seen twice with an oldish chap. Just walking around. But the last time my chap saw them, he swears they were both talking Russian.
The court wouldn't let you talk about that. It's nothing to do with a divorce case.
It could be if it's handled right.
How?
You'd have to leave that to me.
If this guy's in the spy business, he'll spot your chap tailing him in no time.
No. My chap's ex-SAS. Ex-Dirty Tricks in Ulster. He's just as good as Hoggart. Maybe better. Where's the girl now?
Oh, I found her a place by Victoria Station. The lease is in her name, she pays the rent, and I keep her funded.
Oh, not with cheques, I hope.
No, cash.
Good. Well, I'll contact you when I've got something to tell you.
Why did Hoggart marry the girl?
Oh, a lot of reasons, I guess. She was young and very pretty, and they both had rotten childhoods, if you can call them that. I think she quite genuinely cared about Eddie Hoggart. He was a rock for her, the only reliable man she'd ever met. And I've no doubt he genuinely cared about her.
So why did it go wrong?
All the usual reasons why our chaps' relationships go wrong. Hoggart never talked about his job with her. Disappears for days and she's left on her own. They don't have any mutual friends she can turn to. So she gets drawn back to the so-called friends of her old life. Barmen from sleazy clubs. Several men from her past. And then the great mistake. Harry Gardner.
But she didn't need to sleep with him, for God's sake.
Oh, it didn't mean anything to her, Bob.
What was this chap Gardner doing about it?
Well, Gardner and Foxy were getting in deeper and deeper.
Very nice place you got here, Harry. Huh. Must have cost you a fortune.
Nah, it all goes down to tax, Foxy.
Sit down.
Yeah, and what's it all about? Why all the mystery?
Not mystery, Harry, security. I've got a few shots left in the locker to delay things. But sooner or later, they'll try to get me in court. I want to stop that from happening. Whichever way it went, you'd be the loser. So, we've got two ways we can pressure him. Physical or inside pressure.
What inside pressure?
I'm a solicitor, an officer of the court. I'm also a good citizen, patriotic and all that. I've got this piddling little case. It means to protect the interest of my client, Jackie, I've got to show that this man's behaviour is what drove her to what she did. Not his fault, of course. It's what he was trained to do, wasn't it? He's used to dealing with foreign agents. Tough and ruthless, and unfortunately, given to violence in his private life. What a pity to see a man's career put in jeopardy just for a marital squabble. If they had a quiet word with him, it could be all smoothed over, quietly and calmly. Surely they'd agree that it was best for all concerned.
Who's this they you say you'll talk to?
Well, I'll talk to his solicitor first. If I get no joy then, I'll call MI6. I've got the number of the main switchboard from my chap. And I know who to talk to.
Who?
A chap named Latham, legal department.
Yeah, he'll say it's private, none of their business.
He won't, they can't afford to. They won't want all that about what he does coming out into open court, Russians and all that.
Okay, Foxy, try it like you said. Won't do no harm talking to him.
Okay, Harry. I'll start moving on it.
What happened when this chap Fox contacted the solicitors?
He tried Hoggart's lawyer first, and then he got onto our chap Latham, who shuffled the papers upstairs, and they put one of our chaps onto it. A bit of the inter-services cooperation, let us say.
Yes, I'll see what I can do, Freddy. What is it, Miss Purvis?
There's a gentleman to see you, Mr. Fox.
I don't remember any appointments this morning. Who is he?
He won't say.
Well, tell him to go away or make a proper appointment.
I think you should see him, Mr. Fox.
Why?
He looks kind of official. He said he'd wait however long it takes.
Oh, you better wheel him in then.
Sir, if you'd like to come through.
I didn't get your name, sir.
I didn't give it, Mr. Fox, but it's Harris.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Harris?
A couple of things, actually. I want to see all the documents you have on the premises of Gaylord Overseas Limited. And, while I'm here, I'd like to look at your own books covering the last 8 years. Inland Revenue, Mr. Fox, sir. Here's me card.
What's all this about, Mr. Harris?
Well, every now and again, we stick a pin in the list, and wherever it lands, we do a special check covering 8 or 10 years. Your client, Gaylord Overseas, came up this time. So, here we are.
Why my books? I put my returns in every year.
And they're usually a bit late, Mr. Fox. We thought we might as well give you a whirl at the same time.
I'll have to get permission from my clients before I can let you go ahead.
This is the registered office of Gaylord, and you are down as the company secretary. We don't need any permission. But you can accompany my two chaps who do the search at your own. Two others will be going to do the search simultaneously at your colleague's house.
My colleague?
Yes, Mr. Gardner, isn't it? Hartford Street, Mayfair?
You mean you're going to search Harry Gardner's place?
Yes, it's his company that's the main subject of the check.
Does he know?
Well, I'll be going around there myself when the chaps are settled in here.
I can't believe it.
It does often seem to come as a shock to the people concerned.
Well, how long will all this take?
It looks like several weeks. Your clients seem to have a whole network of subsidiaries and associates.
And what about my work? This is only a small place.
You just carry on, Mr. Fox. Once we've got what we need, we can use your outer office.
Well, you've got your bloody answer, didn't you, Foxy?
It's just a coincidence, Harry.
Coincidence, my arse. One of us, yes, but both at the same time. They're telling you to get stuffed, and me too.
So what do we do?
Do nothing. Pray that the bastards don't find anything.
I've been very careful, Harry. Most of it's in the Cayman Islands set up.
You want to bet?
On what?
On how much they screw me for. I reckon mine'll be $100,000, and they'll do you for 15.
On what grounds?
Don't be so bloody naive. They'll do us because they want to. That's what this thing's all about. It's their answer to your little games with them. They're teaching you a lesson, Foxy, and I'm bloody paying for it.
So what do you want me to do? I could tell them she's changed her mind and there'd be no trouble.
I'll still be in trouble. Back to square one with Hoggart out to ruin me.
So what do you want me to do?
Give him another dose. Up the stakes. Show him we're not scared.
How did Gardner take it?
Hired a hitman to harass Hoggart and used his influence to make sure that Jackie couldn't get even a shop girl's job. I saw a sad little note she sent to Eddie Hoggart. Obviously thought he was involved in some way.
Dear Eddie, I don't know if it is okay to write to you because of the divorce business, but here goes. Have you been to our old place recently? I was there last week hoping to speak to you. It's all smashed up and been broken into. It was not me, you can be sure. I lost my job because someone told him about the fines I got way back. Since then I get promises of jobs but never hear no more. So I think somebody is doing it deliberate. I'm really sorry about what happened. I was a fool. But if you don't give me a chance to work, I'll be in a bad way. Hoping this finds you okay. Your loving Jackie. P.S. They even tore up the new curtains I made.
How you doing, Rocky?
Getting by.
Yeah, good. I've got a job for you. If you're interested.
No. How much?
Well, add up to about 500 nicker.
What is it?
Just one chap, but he's good. He's well trained.
Who is he?
You interested?
Well, of course I am.
You feel fit to talk, Mr. Hoggart?
Yeah, I'm okay. Who are you?
Rawson, from Sedbury House. The police found your ID and contacted us. Tell me what happened. You think it was an accident?
No, I'm sure it was deliberate.
Why are you so sure?
Well, somebody vandalized my flat in London a few days ago.
Any idea who it could be?
I don't know who's actually doing it, but I know who's giving him his orders to do it.
Who?
A bloke called Gardner.
Not Harry Gardner.
Yeah, that's him. But time criminal, but no conviction. How come you know him?
As it happens, we've been looking him over.
What does that mean?
We've been keeping an eye on him for Malin's people. I think they're giving him the treatment.
Why?
No idea. You'd better get more sleep.
Listen, can you drive me to the crossroads in Lamberhurst?
You ought to stay here until they discharge you.
All right, I'll get a taxi.
Okay. Okay, I'll take you.
Hello?
Eddie.
Tony.
How are you getting on with our friend?
I think I'm getting there.
Good. I'd like to see you, Eddie, tonight. My flat.
Well, I don't like leaving him.
I do understand. But I need to see you.
Okay. I'll be a couple of hours then.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be here. Come in, Eddie. Sit you down.
Thanks.
Eddie, I've got some rather upsetting news for you. Jackie's dead.
Jackie?
She slashed her wrists in the middle of the night.
Oh,
she was
God.
Dead when they found her. There'll be an inquest, of course. I went over to the hospital to do what I could. She left a note for you. They wanted to keep it and hand it to the coroner. But I insisted that you had it on the undertaking that it would be made available, if required, for the inquest.
Oh, my God.
And I took the liberty of reading it, Eddie. I wanted to be able to help.
Saturday night. Dear Eddie, please forgive me, but I've got to the end of my tether, as they say. I seem to have caused everybody so much trouble. I'm truly sorry for what I've done. I did love you, Papa, but I spoiled it all. Take care of yourself. Love, Jackie.
Oh, Jackie. It must be a terrible shock, Eddie. I'm very sad. But you're not to blame. You gave her the only bit of security that she ever had. And the only genuine affection.
Oh, why didn't it work?
Because she was doomed, Eddie. Doomed from the start. She didn't stand a cat in hell's chance. Neither did you. However hard you tried.
Oh, I didn't try hard enough, Tony. I didn't try, that's for sure.
No matter how hard you had tried, it would have made no difference.
Why did you bother to find out about her?
To see if there was anything I could do to help you.
Why?
Because You and the girl, in my opinion, were like a pair of bookends. Your backgrounds were almost exactly the same. You ended up in ways that looked very different, but deep down, you weren't. You were like a couple of lost souls. You survived because of your work. And she was lost because of that bloody father of hers. Will you take some advice from me, or shall I shut up?
No, no, what's the advice?
Don't go back to the safe house. Let him stew for a bit. Forget work. I've got a beautiful boat in a beautiful spot. Use it for a couple of days. Get off the treadmill and rest that mind of yours.
I've got to make arrangements for... Where's she being buried?
Leave it to me, Eddie. I'll take care of all that for you. And I'll do it with affection. The way you would have done it.
Thank you.
Did you come by car?
No, train.
Okay. I'll drive you down to Chichester to the boat myself. I'm sure you have things well. And then I'll get somebody to drive your car down in a couple of days' time. There's a shaving kit down there. There's food in the galley.
I'm very grateful, Tony. It's very unexpected, undeserved.
What is it, Eagle?
Eddie, the SIS man. I've just seen him on TV. Or someone exactly like the photograph they showed me.
Yeah, it could be a lookalike. Serving SIS officers don't ever go on TV or have their photographs in the media. What was he doing?
He was in a crowd going into cinema. I wasn't watching carefully until I just saw him.
Late Show Production Office.
Could you tell me what items were on the Late Show tonight, please?
The first item was on an American photographer, Ansel Adams. The second was a general item about the Mersey poets. And the last item was the premiere of a new musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber. The Queen was there. It was a charity dinner.
Can I have a copy of the last part?
You'd have to apply to the producer, but I think it's unlikely.
Well, can I speak to him, the producer?
He'll be at home in bed by now.
Well, is there someone senior I can speak to right now?
I'll see what I can do.
It's very irregular, but I've checked your status with your organisation, and I will get a copy made. It's 1 o'clock now. It'll be ready for you at reception in 1 hour. You said your name's Hoggart, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And the invoice should go to your people at Century House.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be at the TV centre in a couple of hours.
He took it down to the safe house and ran it through for Ikunin half a dozen times. But he knew the first time that Ikunin was right. Our friend was with one of his girlfriends, waiting to go up the steps to their seats before H.M. arrived. And suddenly it all fitted together. Hockert couldn't really believe it. He didn't want to believe it. It was dark when Hockert got down to Burgum, and he made his way to Renshaw's boat. Then, lo and behold, Tony Renshaw arrives.
Well, Eddie, no need to say make yourself at home.
We've got to talk, Tony.
By all means. What brings you here of visiting so late?
You know why I'm here, Tony. Don't play games with me.
Tell me all.
Why? That's what I want to know. Why?
It's a long story, Eddie. Frightfully boring, too. And why doesn't really matter, does it?
It does to me.
But not to our masters. They are only interested in how and what. And they'd never understand the why.
Maybe I would.
Let's have a nice cup of tea first, yes?
If you want.
How many people know?
Just me.
Are you armed?
No.
Let's see. Milk and 2 sugars, if I remember rightly.
You've got a good memory, Tony.
You have to have, you know. In my eye.
You mean treason?
Oh. I wondered how long before that word would rear its ugly head. Nothing passed on to them would have affected our national security.
If it didn't, the KGB wouldn't have been interested.
Oh, I'm afraid you are quite wrong there. Although the KGB were the channel, it was people much higher up who benefited. And so did we, of course.
How could we benefit from giving away our secrets?
Well, as always in these things, it was on 2 levels. Lienski was my mole in Moscow, and I was his mole in SIS. The difference between us was that his people knew about both of us. Not that they knew what we were really up to. SIS knew only that I was controlling a mole named Lienski. On one level, we exchanged hard information, but what really mattered was the second level. And that was more often advice rather than hard facts or information.
Like what?
On facts level, I would warn him that we might easily put one of their chaps in the bag if he didn't lay off contacts with certain politicians. It saved them losing an agent and us having to waste time doing surveillance on a new chap. And stop the wretched politicians from playing silly games just for a free trip to Prague or Budapest. And on the second level, I gave advice. What were the inner cabinet's real views on removal of nuclear weapons? What was the Prime Minister's real assessment of Gorbachev? And I get back a picture of the struggles inside the KGB. Even the struggles inside the Kremlin itself.
And the information you passed on was always factual and authentic.
On the second level, it was never either of those things. It was genuine views of a well-informed person who was not anti-Soviet, or in Lienski's case, not anti-British. Well-informed because he was part of the inner circle.
Did you pass on Lienski's information?
The hard stuff. The first level was passed on to the Director General verbatim. The second level came in my advice, as if from me. I think the DG thought I used a crystal ball.
Did you never have any doubt that they might be using you?
Doubts, yes. But Lienski's comments were genuine, I'm sure. He wasn't always right. I was I. But our errors were made in good faith. Lienski and I had a lot in common. Where politicians are concerned, we don't inhale. He didn't trust theirs, and I don't trust ours. I never have.
Why not?
I was brought up among them. There were always half a dozen around at home every weekend. I heard them talking with one another off the record. My father is a rich man and influential, and so they cultivated him. He didn't like them, but he tolerated them. But I hated, despised them. It angered me that these men could influence and control all our lives. Send us into wars. Decide how desperately poor you had to be before the state would help you. Change the law to suit their own interest. And I mean both of them. Labour and Tories. Nothing to choose between them.
But you trust the men in the Politburo?
No way. They're even worse than our lot.
So why help them?
I don't. What I pass on to Lienski has often prevented them from some aggression that would inevitably lead to confrontation. When they're planning some move, they always have to work out what they think the West's reaction will be. If our reaction looks as if it's going to cause them trouble, they very often think again. It doesn't always work. It didn't work with Afghanistan. But the mess they got into only showed them what it cost if they ignored the signals that Lienski gave them. Signals from me.
How did you get to know Lienski?
Ah. Our planes were held up for 6 hours by fog at Tokyo Airport. We got talking about politics and current affairs. I think it was after about an hour, we both realized that we were in the same business. Anybody else would have backed off, but we were both amused. And as we went on talking, it was obvious that we both had much the same views and outlook on the world and our own governments. I think it was more or less as an intellectual exercise that we discussed how to use our positions to bring some sanity into East-West relations. And despite some doubts, we decided to try it for a few months. Each of us claiming to have recruited the other. It seemed to work. And we were in business.
Why was Lienski sacrificed by Moscow?
No, he wasn't intended as a sacrifice. He was meant to counteract Yakunin and protect me.
Where do we go from here?
I thought I might take a little trip across the channel. That was my plan. With your very kind permission, of course.
What made you decide to leave tonight?
The same thing that brought you down here, too. Instinct. The little bells ringing and the little red lights flashing.
Nothing more than that?
Oh, just a little. I saw the piece on the late show.
What do you suggest I tell the people back at Sentry House?
They won't know that you were here. Just be surprised when you're told. Just one more intellectual does a boat. But an Oxford man this time, not Cambridge. There'll be some compensation for him. They won't want it to get in the press. They've got enough scandals to cope with already without adding to them unnecessarily.
And Lenski and Yakunin?
You can tell Yakunin that I'll square things in Moscow for him as long as he doesn't work for SIS.
And Lenski?
Yes, Polyansky. Well, he'll have to carry on for a bit whilst I work something out.
And when things have cooled down, I get a telephone call from some KGB goon with a message from you threatening to expose me if I don't do what Moscow wants.
You read me better than that, dear boy, now, don't you? You
answer me a personal question, totally honestly.
I've answered all your questions, honestly.
When you were kind about my wife, was it a piece of long-term insurance to get me on your side?
You mean insurance for what I'm asking you to do now?
Yes.
Common sense should give you the answer to that. I didn't expect you to be here on the boat. I'd assumed that I should quietly fold up my tents like the Arabs and silently steal away. How could I have known that you would be so significant? I helped you about your wife because you were one of my men who needed help. A man who had tried to find a small dream and found a nightmare instead. No other reason.
Can I ask you what happened?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
She had a proper funeral service, and she's buried in my family's plot in a village church near my old home at Henley-on-Thames.
Who's there?
Just me.
When do you want to leave here?
The tide's up now.
Listen. Thanks for what you did for me and Jackie. I hope you're happy in your new life.
What? With all those bloody po-faced Russians, no way. But we all make our little beds, don't we? And we all have to learn them sooner or later. It's time for me to go, Eddie. You'd better go ashore.
I'll send you a postcard when I've settled in. Take care, Eddie.
Yeah, and you.
In Deep Purple, a dramatization by Ted Albury from his own novel, Eddie was played by Michael Melia and Jackie by Louise Germain. Tony Renshaw, Steve Hodson, David Fletcher, Dominic Letts, Yakunin, Shandor Ellis, Gardner, John Hollis, Foxy, Brian Croucher, Belinsky and Pritchard, Probation Officer, Geraldine Fitzgerald, Senior Probation Officer and Miss Purvis, Julie Mears. Sir Arthur and Rawson were played by Colin Pinney, Sir Peter Bellamy by John Evitts, Sir Peter's assistant, the guard and inspector, by Michael Onslow, Chalmers and Joe, Julian Rhine-Tutt, Diana and Julie, Una Beeson, Mary, the assistant at Century House, and BBC girl, Teresa Gallagher, Harris and the magistrate, James Taylor, Bodoni and Rocky, Gareth Armstrong, Mason and BBC man, Philip Anthony, and Shaw, John Fleming. The pianist was David Chilton. Deep Purple was directed by Tracy Neal.